name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Last night I borrowed a collection of all of St. Gregory Palamas' sermons, 69 sermons in one volume. I borrowed it from Quentin Currington. And when I took a look into it, I found that there were two sermons for the Feast of the Entrance of the Theotokos. And as I read them, I remembered having been at the church where the relics of St. Gregory Palamas are in Thessaloniki. We had the opportunity to venerate them. And as I have with the relics of those that we were able to venerate, I felt a closeness to this man who now was not someone that I had read of in a book, but someone who I had been in the presence of. That's how the veneration of the relics on Mount Athos affected me, that there is a continuing presence of the holy person in this world, that that's what relics are. When you are there with them and you venerate them, you are in the presence of one who is not entirely separated and gone from this world. When Gregory wrote about this feast day, he begins recalling to us what happened in the beginning when God created human beings. He says that in the beginning, the supremely evil spiritual serpent who had fallen from heaven himself saw Adam and Eve being guided from earth to heaven, and he hated them and he envied them and he was jealous. Think how different this understanding is of our condition in the garden from what we have often heard. God created Adam and Eve perfect. They disobeyed him and they fell. St. Gregory Palamas says of Adam and Eve, in the garden they were being guided from earth to heaven. That's what we lost. Our guidance from earth to heaven. The change from having been created out of the dust of the earth into being able to live, not just created in the image, but with the likeness of God, through oneness and communion with Him. That's what was lost. And Satan, who had been Lucifer, was jealous of that. He wanted to have power, control over these beings that God had created. He wanted them to share his own passions. And so he deceived them. And the root of mankind became subject to death. And all of the shoots of human life that sprang up afterward, they too were subject to death. St. Gregory says that what we needed was an Adam incapable of being deceived, an Adam who was able to forgive sin and lead us into life. In order that that might be the case, and wanting to begin with human beings and to transform us from within our humanity, he began as Satan had begun, with a woman, not tempting her, but choosing her from before she was born, Joachim and Anna, elderly man and woman who so much desired to have a child, gave birth to Mary. And then, when she was weaned, about 3 years old, she was taken to the temple. Now, I asked one of our little girls the other day, and please, you'll know who you are, so don't be embarrassed. I'm not making fun of you. It was just so wonderful, the answer that you gave me. I asked her about the feast day. I asked her about the icon, if she knew what it was about. And first she wasn't sure, but then she said, yes, it's when Mary's parents took her to the temple, to the church, and they left her there. I don't think it's how it seemed to Mary. We are told in writings from very, very early that when Mary went to the temple, she danced on the steps of the temple. She was glad to be there. And she entered into the temple and she went into the Holy of Holies. Now, nobody was allowed to go into the Holy of Holies, including and especially little girls. And according to tradition, the priest persuaded the people that this was okay. It was God's will that this happened. And I thought when I read that, some priest to convince them that this was okay. So it's a lot more going on there than Mary just being taken to the temple and left there to be taken care of by those who stayed at the temple. She wanted to be there. This was a sanctuary for her. She grew into the full stature of her womanhood there. It was a place where she was protected from the world outside. In that place, she kept the purity of childhood from the beginning. It wasn't paradise, but it was what needed to happen before paradise was restored to us. As she grew to the full stature of her womanhood, we who are Christians are called through her Son, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, to gradually, in the church, grow into the fullness of his stature. Mary became the temple. She became the sanctuary so that we could be temples. As St. Paul says, each one of us is a temple to the Lord. As within Mary, God was united to man, to her human flesh. In our lives, God is meant to be united to our human flesh within us. It's the only way that we can fulfill our lives as human beings. Oftentimes when we pray, we think of ourselves as individual agents separate from God. And we ask God, God, help me to act the way I should act. And we're leaving God out of involvement of the way we live our lives, even as we pray. We have to remember that we are meant to be the temples of the Lord. We should ask God to unite himself to our flesh and enable us to have him live and act within us, so that when we act, he acts through us. This is our calling as human beings. When we think of Mary entering into the temple, we can think of the fact that she has now, as St. Gregory Palamas says, entered into the Holy of Holies beyond this world. And he says that we should lift up our minds and our hearts toward that Holy of Holies and begin to resume the ascent that Adam and Eve were created for, to ascend from earth to heaven. That's what our lives are about. That's why Mary entered the temple, so that Christ could be born and that we could ascend from earth to heaven and be the human beings in communion with God that God has created each one of us to be. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.